Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
How many of you guys are excited to be in God's house tonight? Anybody? It's a good night. Listen, I want to read to you tonight out of Isaiah 41 and verse 28, if you'll let me do it. If you want to open up your Bibles and go with me, that'd be awesome. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible, so it may be different than your version. I never read out of the Amplified Bible, but I just love the way that it sounds out of this version tonight. So if you'll bear with me, I'll read it to you. It says, "The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become tired or grow weary." How many of you are glad that God doesn't get tired when he's on watch? "There is no searching of his understanding. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who has no might, he increases power. Even youths grow weary and they grow tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect and look for and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and they will not grow tired." Some of you have heard it said, they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they shall not faint. How many of you have ever heard that scripture? If there's going to be something at the Christian bookstore that is in a frame, it's going to have an eagle on it. It's going to say, "You'll mount up with wings like eagles. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and you will not faint." How many of you think that's a good confession to just confess over yourself? Well, I was thinking this week, I was out in Texas, and we were there. Both of my nephews were there. One of them is 17 and one of them is 22. And they've been getting up early in the morning, and they're trying to stay out of trouble. How many of you think it's a good idea for young men to figure out something to do to stay out of trouble? So we work them hard all day long. And then in the morning, they get up at 5 a.m. and they go to the gym. And then at night, they go back to the gym and they work out again because they're just trying to stay out of trouble. Because how many of you know when you're 17 and 22 and you all you want to do is find a girl, the next best thing is just to go get yourself just doing something else so you can get busy and take your mind off of all that stuff. So these guys are working all day long, and we're working them hard. We're trying to make them tired, and then they're going to the gym sometimes twice a day. Well, I was sitting talking to them about 10 o'clock at night, and both of them were falling asleep on me. I said, "What's wrong with you boys? You're only 17 and 22, you know?" And they said, "Aunt Jessie, we're so tired." I said, "Oh, suck it up. You don't know what tired is. You haven't even had children yet. You don't know what it is to be really tired, you know?" And here they were kind of crashing in the floor, and I thought, man, that's funny. I don't remember being young and ever being tired enough to fall asleep at 10 p.m. when people were talking to me, but obviously we're doing our job keeping them good and busy. So I was looking at that, and I'm thinking about this scripture. It says even young men grow weary. Even youths, they fail badly. How many of you got, and it's talking about spiritually, how many of you in your lifetime, whenever you were young, you did some crazy things, right? I was actually at a birthday party in Evansville, Indiana the other day, and I ran into this lady that I didn't know. Her son goes to school with my son, and she said she was from Union County, Kentucky. And so I said, "Oh, you're from Union County. Do you know Patrick Donahue and Tiffany Donahue, two of our pastors here on the staff?" She didn't know they were pastors over here, but she said, "Oh, yeah, of course I know Tiffany and Patrick." I said, "Oh, yeah, how do you know them?" She said, "They were the only two people in our high school when the rest of us were young and doing stupid things. They were the only ones who didn't act stupid." That's how I know them. I said, "They're still that kind of people. They still don't act stupid. You know, Patrick and Tiffany, they do the right thing. They're that kind of people." But how many of you know most people in their youth, they do something crazy before it's all over? So I was looking at this passage talking about people failing, about people running and tripping, about people falling. And I'm thinking about you, and you were on my heart and on my mind, our church, the people of God. You know, God's perfect plan is that we birth children as Christians, and then we take them directly to the house of God. And I know the doctors tell you that you can't subject any children to the flu bug, but God's plan is that they get in church real fast. Like, we always try to get our kids to church as fast as we could possibly get them there, because how many of you know, we believe that those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they'll flourish in the courts of their God. So we got our kids, I mean, within a week, sometimes 2 days, I'd have them on the front row just ready to worship God, you know, because I wanted my babies to be in the house of God. So we bring them to the house of God, and we subject them to the teachings of God. We subject them to the people of God. There are times that people say that that's brainwashing. I believe that that's the renewing of their mind and their best chance at survival in this world. And so we bring them in and we teach them the things of God, and we do everything that we can to make kids love coming to church. Do you know that it is a sin in this church for children to cry? If children are crying, we are not doing our job. Church, we need to make sure that kids do not cry in this church. If you see a baby and they're walking down the hall, I don't care if they're in trouble with their mama, you hand them a sucker. Help them. Bless them. We don't want anybody, any kids, to be sad in the house of God. You can deal with mama later, the sugar problem later. All you just do whatever it takes to make that baby quit crying, because I don't think that kids should have to cry in God's house. They can cry on their mama's time, in their mama's SUV. I'm here to make sure the kids love the house of God. I want church to be like recess for them, not because it's not serious, but because it should be their special place, the place that they long to go, the place that they desire to be as many times a week as they can get there. That's what I want for my kids. That's what I want for your kids. That's what God wants for all of us. The plan of God is that we would bring them early, that they would be raised up, that they would hear the message of the gospel in an age-appropriate manner, that they would be taught the things of God, that they would be given memory verses that go into their heart so that whenever it'll be there when they don't need it, so that when they do need it, it comes out of them, that they're trained up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that they eventually give their heart to God, are water baptized, and that they have a life that is full of God's goodness and his mercy extended to them. But how many of you know that is not the story of every one of our lives? That just didn't happen for some of us. We started out early in a place that was not what God intended for us to be in because of someone else's decisions, maybe a family that we were just born into. Things happen, and people don't always get in the kingdom of God whenever they're kiddos and get a chance to learn all of the things. But God's best and most for you is that you do that. So a lot of people come in their adult life into the house of God, and they get frustrated because they think they should already be soaring with God. And they may look at somebody else that's already soaring with God, and it's a frustration to them because they love God. As much as that person loves God, they just know they do. How many of you ever felt like that? I'm showing up. I pray. I read my Bible. I am showing up to church every time the doors are open. And I'm pretty sure I love God as much as that person. They might not love him as much as I do. I'm just saying. Like, how many of you have ever felt like that? I mean, you come in and you're a little late to the party, you know, and then you're thinking, man, I should be soaring by now. But the thing is that God teaches us to walk until we don't faint. Then he teaches us to run until we don't grow weary. And then he allows us to soar with wings like eagles. But a lot of times in life, we want to skip all the walking. We don't want to walk. Walking is boring. You know, walking. I was at the mall the other day. It was cold outside. And so I went to the mall and I was walking with all of the walkers, you know, but none of them were my age. And I was just walking as fast as I could, and I'm a fast walker. I could, like, run ahead of Brian and not even, like, move my legs very fast, you know. He's always like, how do you walk this fast? I've been walking ahead of him our entire marriage, just blasting down the runway. And I don't know why. I'm just a quick mover. I like to walk, and I like to walk fast. And so I've taught all my children to walk fast. I have a niece that I had with me the other day. I said, what is wrong with her? She takes after my sister. That's what's wrong with her. She will not move. That kid was like, I said, we got to go. She said, I'm coming. Thinking, my gosh, I got to get this girl under my wing. Her mama is teaching her to be too slow. I like people to move quick, you know. I like them to break things because they're not paying attention. I mean, I want to move somewhere. So here I'm walking through this mall, and I'm just getting it, you know. And every time I'd pass somebody, they'd say, ooh, you're doing good. I'd say, thank you. I was the most impressive walker in the mall, I'm just saying. I'd pass the guy that had to take a break on the bench. He'd say, go. I'd say, thank you very much. I was just walking. And I'm thinking about it. Some of you in the spirit realm, in your Christian walk, you haven't learned to walk and not faint yet. You can't even get through the whole thing without needing to sit down and take a breather. And there is no shame in a breather. There is no shame in learning to walk and build up your stamina. It is a part of God's process for you spiritually. But if you get so anxious to soar with wings like eagles and you skip this, you're never going to do it. Because if you try to fly when you can't walk, you are going to bust it. I'm telling you, you're going face down. It's not going to be good. And I'm telling you, whenever you learn to walk with God, just to be patient in His process, just to take your steps of faith that morning to wake up and just say over yourself, I'm putting on the armor of God today. My mind is protected by the helmet of salvation. Now, I know you think you should be soaring like an eagle, but what would happen if you just walked without fainting today? What if you just walked it out? What if you just stayed married and you just held hands with your spouse, even when you're just mad and angry with one another? Today, you know, some people, you just got to survive today and get into the next day. You know, sometimes you're going through seasons in life. People have seasons that they go through when they're in illness that they feel like they've been knocked down. And I don't know if you've ever had to build your stamina up in the physical realm before, but I have. With my second child, I was on complete bed rest for 7.5 weeks. I didn't move my body for 7.5 weeks. And it dwindled down really, really, really little because all my muscles went away. And whenever I got that baby, then I had to take him with me everywhere that I went. And I chose to go to LA when he was 4 weeks old. This was a bad idea. My sister was on American Idol, and I wanted to see her before she wasn't on American Idol anymore. And I was fearing that maybe she wasn't going to be on American Idol, and I was right. She got kicked off that week. So here I am with this four-week-old baby, and I'm walking in L.A. And Lana Vasquez, the director of Life Impact International, who's the only person on the planet that can walk any faster than me, and Brian Gibson, he loves to go, go, go all day long. They drug me around Los Angeles, California for 6 days, and I had this baby. And all I can remember is thinking, oh God, when will it end? You know, I'd been on bed rest for 7.5 weeks, but as I pushed through that week and I kept walking, I could feel my body getting stronger every single day. And by the end of the week, I kept up with them. But the first day, I thought that I was literally not going to make it. They were going to have to bury me in Los Angeles. I wasn't coming home. But as I built that stamina up, some of you have been in wheelchairs and different things that have caused your body to deplete over time, and you've experienced that, having to build your stamina back up. It's the same in the spirit realm. Whenever you get knocked down, when you have a big blow, when you maybe fumble, when you fall, you know, people make mistakes and they mess up and they stumble and they fall, and God has to teach them again to walk. So maybe you're not a baby in Jesus, but you are learning to walk again because you've gone through a mighty, mighty storm, and God is teaching you to just walk today out and not grow weary. Just walk and don't grow weary. The next stage of your life, God will allow you to run and not, I'm sorry, it's walk and not faint. He'll allow you to run and not grow weary. You know, when you're learning to build strength in God's kingdom, you learn to walk first. Why do you do that? It's just like a baby. God just gets you up and He says, you can do it. One more step. And sometimes those steps feel so, so, so hard. Because you don't know if you can take the next one. You don't know if you're strong enough. And then you get a little further in God and you begin to run with Him. I mean, you really feel like you catch your stride. You start winning some battles. You start believing God for healing and it starts actually showing up in your body. You start doing all the things that you can do for your marriage and you guys start falling in love again. Like there's a miracle going on in the house and you can be pleasant with one another and your children are actually living in a household of peace. And the devil loves to come at that very moment and to just send a cannonball into the middle of the house and try to destroy you. But you're not going to let it happen. See, because you're not weary when you're walking. You're not going to faint whenever you're not going to faint when you're walking. You're not going to be weary when you're running and you're catching your stride and your family is getting it. And I don't want you to be ashamed of your running. See, you are so anxious to soar, but God is looking for you just to run today. He wants you to learn to run and not be weary. He wants you to build up your spiritual stamina and not be ashamed when you look at someone else and it looks like they're flying. Who cares? It is not wise to compare yourselves one with another, is what the Bible says. And it doesn't mean that we don't look at other people as examples and say, man, I would love to be in a position like that one day. I would love to follow in their footsteps. The Bible definitely says that we are to follow. It says, follow me as I follow Christ. The disciples would say, follow me as I follow Christ. If you find a true disciple of Jesus and you want to pattern your life and your Christianity after their walk with God, I think that's incredible. I think everyone needs help and friends and mentors and people that they're helping and people that are helping them and peers that they're walking alongside. But this is the thing, you can't let your pursuit of wanting to go somewhere else in God steal the joy of the progress that you've made today. You got to learn to love where you are in God. Because it's loving and accepting and embracing and strengthening where we are in God today that allows us to then in the future do something else. Resistance, Brian was talking about this on Instagram today, resistance training strengthens you, right? You got to have something that is trying to push against you in order to build the muscles in your body that make you stronger. If there's no resistance in life, you're not getting any better. A lot of times people will come up to me and they'll say, Pastor Jesse, I thought I was doing everything right. I have been doing this. And I want them to know that their Christianity isn't based on their works anyway. The grace of God is what delivered to them the goodness of God. But it is our life in God that begins, it changes. We start getting better at walking with God. And then they start thinking that they had something to do with it. Like their righteousness isn't like filthy rags in front of the Father, right? I have been guilty of this, thinking that I was holy enough to stand on my own, thinking that I had what it took to serve God. But I don't, outside of Jesus, I have absolutely no capability of following God in strength. Some of you today, you're thinking, man, I just want to be soaring, but you are experiencing some resistance and God is strengthening you. And you're saying, I don't know why this is happening to me. And I'm here to tell you today, it's happening to you because you're doing all the right things, not because you're doing everything wrong. We automatically think that somehow we are guilty of something because there's resistance in this life. I hope there's resistance. If the devil is not fighting me today, I am not threatening him quite enough. Every single day, Brian and I wake up at the gates of hell and we begin to fight demons. And I am not afraid of the devil because the devil is already a defeated foe. But he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Doesn't mean he is one. He tries to look like one. When you wake up in the morning, he's rah. And when he opens his mouth, if you look real, real close, there's no teeth. He's got nothing on you because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You, my friend, are the head and not the tail. Above only and never beneath. It doesn't matter what the world looks like today. It doesn't matter what the resistance is coming at you. It only matters what the Word of God says. Say that with me. Say, it only matters what the Word of God says. It may feel like everything is breaking loose in your life and you don't know how to control it, but the truth is that you have already won the war with God. Because there may be battles today, but the war is already won. He's just looking to see if you are going to agree with what he already did. And I'm telling you, the most resistant times in my life, when I felt like my body couldn't take anymore, like my spirit man couldn't take anymore, like my emotional state couldn't take anymore, when I did not know what to do, the only thing that saved me was the Word of God coming up and out of me. When I heard that word, it began to strengthen me. See, that's how you learn to run and not grow weary. You learn that when you're running and you're real, real tired, the Word of God has to come up and out of you. And you have to learn. I went through a time where I ran. I don't ever want to go through a time that I run ever again unless someone is chasing me like a bear. But I went through a time where I decided that I was going to run. God bless all of you runners. I don't understand you. It's weird. I am trying to run. I'm trying to run. I ended up getting injured training for a half marathon because I ran just a little too quick. But I noticed something about these runners while I was hanging out with them. I try not to make good friends with runners because they always want you to run with them. So we just keep acquaintances that are runners. Like, I just make them my acquaintance friends. But if you get too close, they'll drag you along on a run. So you got to stay. It's a joke, you guys. It's just a joke. Okay? Everybody's like, oh, my God, she's so mean to runners. Did you hear what she said? You're awesome. It's just like the CrossFitters. They, like, ding us in the morning. They want us to get up with them. Would you please quit telling me you're at CrossFit? I don't care. I don't want to be at CrossFit with you. But they want you to come in along with them because misery loves company, you know? So all of these people. So I am with these runners, and I noticed something. After so long, they would stop and get water. And then after so many more miles, they would usually have some kind of pick-me-up, like a chew that had some kind of pick-me-up in it that they would use to strengthen their body for the rest of that run. And that's what it is. It's not getting weary. It's taking the time to train. See, you don't just start becoming a runner and just run 26 miles. If you do that, you will be broken. It's just the way that it's going to be. You have to start by just running a little bit for a few minutes, and then you build up your stamina and you run just a little bit longer. And if you're like me, you run a little while, then you walk a little while. Then you run a little while, then you walk a little while. Why? Because that's the way that you build up the strength of your body to become a long-distance runner. God has created you, even if you're not going to do it in the natural, He wants you in the spiritual to be a long-distance runner. Everybody thinks that this Christian walk is a sprint. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It goes on for decades and decades and decades. And if we do it right, it goes on for generations and generations and generations and generations because they see the strength. You see, runners create runners. Runners' families have runner children. I've noticed this. They begin to run. I saw a family just the other day running down the side of the road. Mama was in the front, daddy was in the back. They had 2, 3, and a 4-year-old looking kids running in between them. I said, this should be considered child abuse. I'm calling the law. But they were running with these kids in between them. Why? Because runner families have runner children. Guess what? You're a believer. Believer families have believer children. You need to start confessing that over your kids. Do you know what tithers have? Tithers have tither kids and tither grandkids. Tithers have blessed kids and blessed grandkids. Everything that we do should be so incredibly well done well that our children look and they don't think, oh, I don't want to be any part of that. That's miserable. It's like, no, mom and dad did that with strength. I want to follow after them. I want to run. How many of you want your kids to serve God in this lifetime? The way that we do that is portraying strength, and we do it consistently, and we run a little while, walk a little while, run a little while, walk a little while, run a little while till we're running a little bit longer, then we might have to slow down and walk. And your kids might be at a stage that you wish that you were already a soarer, but you're not. You're learning to run, and you think that it's a shame that you already don't know how to soar with God, but all the while your kids are looking and they're saying, man, look at my mom and dad, they're being consistent. I'm so proud of them. They used to not be able to even walk for more than 5 days, but now they can run a little bit, walk a little bit, run a little bit, walk a little bit. And they might not be soarers yet, but I'm telling you what, if you will do what it takes every single day in God, you will create a soaring like eagle kind of family. That's the kind of people that you will become. Everybody wants that to happen instantaneously. They want to come to the altar, and not me because I don't have a drug pass, so I'm not good enough. But if Brian prays for them, the juju of God will come down and break every habit that they've ever had. They want Brian to pray for them. I'll say, I promise you, I'm a believer. I have a theology degree. Not that I need that, but I have that. If you need anything, I think I kind of have an anointing sometimes. I mean, I really feel like if I prayed for you, we could get you some help. They'll say, you're not good enough. I need Brian. You think I'm lying. It happens right here in this altar. And I'll say, why do you need Brian? They'll say, because he did drugs. I'm like, yeah, that means he's dumber than me. I'm just kidding. That's a joke.
Not anymore, because I mean, God renewed his mind and all that. But I'm just saying, when we were teenagers, I was probably killing it and he wasn't, right? So, okay, that's a joke. He's not here, so I can say whatever I want.
And they always say, no, I say, listen, the word's the same no matter what our past is. The word doesn't change. You don't need someone that's been where you're going. You need someone that has been somewhere you haven't been yet. You need someone to pray for you, but I'm telling you what, you need to be prayed for. You need a friend. You need someone to watch as they run ahead of you. And you need to walk a little bit, run a little bit, walk a little bit, run a little bit. And then you start to run in God. And I've seen people get to this point. See, they begin to sprint. The temptation in this season is, I think I can run on my own. And the minute that you think you are cool enough to run on your own, I promise you, there will be a rock in the road and you will trip and fall on your face. That's not a good place to be. So the best part to do is just to begin to run. And see, if they just ran, then they think they can just run. But whenever God allows a little resistance, it requires that they slow down and walk just a little bit and then run just a little bit until they build up the strength. And then they're fully aware by the time they're sprinting, man, I don't think I had anything to do with this. I'm pretty sure that God's grace is carrying me right now. And about that time, they break that barrier in life. Something that they have done that has caused that strength to come to them, causes them to run fast enough in God that all of a sudden, they take off. And they began to soar with wings like eagles. And then everybody can see them because, see, they're above you, not in station, but just in view. One of the reasons I believe God allows people to soar is so that some of us from the ground can look up and be like, man, I want to be in God that strong someday. See, it's a goal for us because it's in our vision. We're able to see it. And they're flying. And it looks like everything's easy, but everything's not easy. It's just that they're stronger because they walked a little bit, ran a little bit. Walked a little bit, ran a little bit. Brian and I were talking about this just the other day in Amarillo because I'm driving around and I'm having flashbacks of my teenage years. And he said, and we had been talking to a lot of young people that day, and he said, Jesse, all these young people, they think they're just going to take off in God. They think it's just easy for some people. They think it just comes together. Have you ever looked at someone and thought, man, they can just do this with their eyes closed? Look at them. They just look like they have it all together, like they can just do it. I've had people come up to me whenever I was a teenager, some other girls. They said, everything just falls into place for you. That was the statement that they made to me. And I thought, man, everything doesn't feel like it falls in place for me. I really feel like I'm having to work for some of these successes that I'm seeing. And some of you that have experienced any kind of success in life, whether it be spiritual or otherwise, you know it doesn't just come. People say they're an overnight success. Everyone knows that that's not a real thing. People don't become overnight successes. They work and they achieve goals because they have focused and they're doing what it takes to build the stamina in their life. And Brian was saying, man, it's funny because he said everywhere that we go in this town, I don't see a lot of success. It was a lot of my younger years. I don't see a lot of success. What I do see is on that corner, I said no. And in that house, I said no. And at that place in that church, I said no to the bad thing and yes to the good thing. In that place, I said yes to something God asked me to do. In that place, I said no to something that God asked me not to do. At that grocery store, I remember that kid asking me out and me saying no. I mean, at all of these places, it's a lot of no's that you just have to stand and become strong enough in God to not get involved with the things. See, it's the best yes. It's not just every yes. Sometimes we feel like we have to be nice enough to people that we're just saying yes all the way around. My nieces and nephews were asking me the other day. They said, Aunt Jessie, how many guys did you date before Brian? And I said, this is embarrassing. I don't want to talk about this. And they said, how many guys? I said, none. I didn't date any guys. And they were like, what? You didn't date? I said, well, some guys asked me out. So we were talking about the different stories because they like those stories. Do y'all like stories like that? It's fun to know people's past. So I'm telling them these stories. They're laughing at me because it's ridiculous.
ridiculous. The whole stories are ridiculous. And they said, were they terrible guys? I said, no, they weren't terrible guys. Why did you say no to them? Because they weren't my kind of guy. They said, what do you mean? I said, they weren't my kind of guy. Well, were they bad? No, they went to church. Were they lazy? No, they worked hard. No, they just weren't my kind of guy. You have to learn in this walk with God that if you're going to soar, sometimes you just got to say a lot of no's to the things that make you walk, to the things that keep you from running. Some of you in here right now, you're having like a revelation moment. Like, I just got to keep doing this every day, and I'm going to become an eagle. And I wish that I could tell you that if you ran to this altar right now, that everything that binds you would just break off immediately, and you would become an eagle that soars. But if I told you that, I'd be lying to you. You see, God gives us the process so that when we soar, we'll have the character to stay above and be the example and to allow people to look and say, man, I'd like to know God like they know God. I'd like to do some of the things that they're doing. Maybe not exactly the same. Maybe their personality is completely different, but they want to become a soarer. And God's allowed you to now have the character that when they look at you, they're not going to fall in their walking because they're watching you do stupid stuff up in the sky. God wants us to build who we are in Him. Peace by piece, block by block, building a building that is stable and firm, that the world can't shake, that tragedy doesn't shake, that the sand is not under us, but we're built on a rock, right? That the house that God has called us to build is built on a solid foundation of faith and theology, that we know why we believe what we believe, that we know what we believe, that we know when we started believing it and why we started believing it, that we didn't build our theology and what we believe on the experiences of our life, but in fact, we built our theology on what the Word of God says, that we actually have a reason why we believe what we believe, that we believe that God said it, that it's canonical, that we have a purpose and a plan, and it's based on this thing that God has given us called Scripture. And when we build our foundation there and we become a great, strong walker, God can allow us then to move quicker. And then after we begin to not grow weary in that long-term running, we begin to be a soarer. An example of the believer. The Bible says in your words, in your conversation, in your charity towards others, in your spirit, in your faith, in your purity, that your profiting may appear to all. Check it out in Ephesians. It's right there. You are called to be an example of the believer. Jesse, I'm not in ministry. I just am a normal person. Yeah. A normal person that's called to be an example of the believer. In your words, in your conversation, that means when you're at work and the gossip train's rolling, you're not on it. It means that whenever everybody else has something negative to say about that person, that your mouth shuts and the Holy Spirit guides your conversation. It means that you are not the trash can that everybody dumps their new thing that they want to say into. They don't feel comfortable talking about everyone with you. In your conversation, in your charity, the way that you treat others, the love by which we treat every single person, no matter who they are, from the top station to the bottom station, from the person that we don't know if anyone knows to the person that we think everyone knows, that we treat everyone with love, the God kind of love. In your spirit, in your faith, in your purity. You said, Jesse, I thought purity was for teenagers. Oh, no. There's a lot more purity tests to pass after you get married than there ever were before you got married. There are a lot more purity tests to pass in our adult years, single or married, than there ever were in our younger years, because we feel like we're entitled to indulge in whatever the world has to offer because we're old enough. But the Bible says different. It says that there are rules and regulations, and there are things that guard us and keep us and fences to put around us. It's learning to walk with strength without falling. In your conversation, your charity, your spirit, your faith, your purity, that your profiting may appear to all. Why does our profiting need to appear to all?
so that they will look and see and say, I don't know who their God is, but whoever he is, he has transformed them from the inside all the way to the outside. Whoever their God is, they are a person of such strength. Man, I am so desirous of becoming a person like that, that it draws them into our inner circle, that they want to be our friend, that they want to be close to us, that they want to have an experience with God, and we're the only, you know, you can have friends for years and years and years that never want to talk to you. You can invite them to church 250 times. One tragedy, and they're on your front door. One tragedy, and all of a sudden, they remember your phone number. One tragedy, one thing, and it is your moment to step in and say, hey, and if your character carries you into that place with strength, you have an opportunity to engage these people and bring them into the kingdom of God. And now you don't just have someone to look up to, you don't just have a peer, you now have someone to teach how they can walk with God. And they can become a walker that doesn't faint. They can become a runner that doesn't get weary. And eventually, when you have the privilege and the honor of watching people that you brought up in the faith soar, like Brian and I have, there is no greater joy in this life than to watch people become eagles in God. And I'm telling you, you have what it takes. The everyday is where it is. I want you to stand up on your feet tonight. This is not the most exciting message. Seems a lot of consistency and boring things, you know. But it is the power of living a Christian life every single day and making it generational. And I want you to bow your head and close your eyes tonight and say, Jesse, man, this message just spoke to me. I'm telling you, I caught some stuff in there that I wasn't really aware of. Maybe there's something, just one little nugget that you're grabbing hold of tonight. I just want you to lift your hand tonight and just say, Jesse, I want you to pray over me. I want God to help me to just walk and run and soar in strength. Father, tonight, I pray over every one of these hands. Father, I pray that you would give them the ability, the desire, the stamina, that they would just continue to walk, God, in those things. Walk in those things. Walk in those things till they become a runner. Run in those things. Run in those things till they become a soarer. Father, I pray that every single person in here, Lord, through the inspiration of your word and through the strength that you've placed on the inside of them and the faith that you've built into them, would become an eagle. Father, I thank you today that you're with them, that you don't leave them and you don't forsake them. Father, continue to strengthen them. Lord, they're already on their way. They're on Wednesday night church. God, I pray that this message would help them over the next few weeks, that they would grow in God like never before. And Father, that you would use them in might to change the world around them. Change their kids, change their coworkers, change, God, transform their marriages, transform their health, transform their finances. Give them strength, God, in everything that they do. We love you. We honor you. We want to live for you, God, with everything inside of us. And today, we yield ourselves to you. Just say that tonight. Say, God, I yield myself under your mighty hand. I resist the devil, and he has to flee from me. Tonight, I make a decision to keep on walking until I can run, and to run until I can soar. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Love you guys so much. I'm glad you're here tonight.